Check.
Morning. Sure we is, and especially of such a festive time of year that that we as followers and believers of Christ celebrate. I'll never forget, I was saved, gloriously saved in 91, and not advocating that Christmas is before. I didn't understand what it was about. I did, of course, realizing that God had given the greatest gift of them all, you know, his son.
Yes, sir.
But in 1991, after salvation, it came not only into my life, but into my family's life through it.
Yeah.
That, without a shadow of doubt, probably was one of the best Christmases that I'd ever had. Now, since then, we've, and I'm not going to say tradition or ritual, because nobody hated that more than Christ. But one thing that we do is you know, we always read, you know, Luke 2 on Christmas Eve. And where we're going this afternoon, we'll get done tonight, and by the time we get back to the house, it'll be, you know, Christmas Eve afternoon.
Sure.
By the time I get home.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, my boys, I got three boys and two daughter-in-laws and two grandboys and stuff like that, and they'll all gather up at the house. And
nice.
And we'll eat a meal, and then there shortly after, you know, we'll sit around and that type of stuff. And again, as the years have gone by, I would read Luke 2, and since that time I gave it to Matthew, the oldest boy, and he read for a while, and then Michael, and now, you know, in fact, Max read last year, and he'll read again this year. Uh-huh. The Christmas story, because I want to make sure that I try to carry that down as far as and again, not necessarily a family tradition, but as a remembrance of exactly what it is and what it isn't. You know, we got two grandbabies now, two grandboys. Two little old grandboys. It's something they could eat a reindeer running through the house on the hoof. And they planning on eating.
Yeah.
They plan on eating, you know, Christmas Eve dinner with us. But the wonderful thing about it is, and I'm grateful to God, because if it had not been for the salvation in my life,
yes, sir,
there's no telling where my boys would have wound up. And for not the grace of God, that, you know, my boys may be in one of them may be in Angola, you know, and Lord forbid, but I know Warden Kane over there very well, and I love him. He'd be taken care of over there, but I certainly wouldn't want him in there.
Sure.
But the thing about it is you know, realizing that Christmas means literally so much more. Now look, now I'll say this. Now I'm satisfied, and I'm tickled about the coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him being born. I'm tickled about that. But I'm more excited about his second coming.
Amen.
Something we leave out of him.
Yeah.
We leave out of him. Yeah. I can guarantee. Now, I'm looking more forward to that than I am anything.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Christmas, of course, you know, is the day that we celebrate that. And, man, this time of year, it just worked out perfect that we could come by and see you, because, you know, I keep up with y'all on Twitter and
do you really?
Twitter.
Oh, man.
You know, they got so many social medias out there, you can't keep them up.
I'm glad you're saying
so. In
fact,
I'm almost tempted to start a two Facebook as much as you read on there.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you're endorsing us, that you do follow us and that you said so, man. That is a great endorsement for us, and I appreciate that. And I am very grateful that you were able to come, because I know, you know, the road is very grueling, and you have to be here and there and everywhere. And for you to take time, of course, Leo wants me to make sure that he knows that he's sorry he couldn't get back down here.
Yeah, I talked to him on the phone, and look, we good with that.
Yeah.
Man, we good with that. And you know, look, it's nothing could have worked out better for us to be able to do it, you know. You know, it just worked out fine, and I'm good with it, and I know he's good with it.
Yeah.
I wish you could have been here to do nothing more than just to see him, because I hadn't seen Leo in a while.
To see
you, Hunter, and the rest of these cats around here, that's a good thing. But
and you remembered me. I didn't really think you'd remember me, man, because that was 3 years ago.
Yeah, it sure was.
Yeah.
And I had to remember Somerset or whether it was London, Kentucky. Now, you know, at one time, man, I used to be really, really, really tremendously good with names, and which I never forget a face now. I'd hear people say that years ago, and I'd get to thinking, wow, man, how could you not remember somebody after you spent time with it? But it does. It gets away. I guess I've got so much crammed down in this old thick head of mine that it don't let a whole lot out. And hey, when I want to recall it, it don't register as quick as what it used to.
Yeah.
Going back really actually to meeting folks like y'all, mm-hmm. and following you, as we were talking about a while ago, it means a great deal to me that y'all are doing what you're doing, because to be honest with you, we're literally living in a society now, and it's not really, I truly do not believe that it's a society that is bent on turning away from God.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's just a whole lot of distractions that get in the way of it.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer, it's just like Elijah in Kings.
Mm-hmm.
When in 17 he said, look, it ain't gonna rain.
Mm-hmm.
And he pronounced the famine.
Right.
And then you go over into 18:1, he said, it's going to rain. And then he says something very interesting to the king. He says, go up, by this time, the sacrifice has happened. You get down in 18:41 where the bull's been cut in half. They dug the trench. Everybody's heard the story. And, mm-hmm. and if they hadn't, the synopsis of this is where the prophets of Baal and the worshipers of Baal and Elimelech and all the other gods that they were worshiping and all this other kind of stuff, said we'll guarantee you our God can do this, and our God, Elijah, he starts taunting them. Where is he? What's he sleeping?
Yeah.
he must have took a supper break or,
yeah.
Whatever. So anyway, so they go back and forth on all that other kind of stuff before it's all over. He said, listen, the God that I serve will answer by fire.
Right.
Well, so the point that I'm getting at is all that takes place.
Mm-hmm.
God answers by fire. The water gets dried up. In fact, the Bible says the dust.
Yeah.
He didn't just consume the water.
No.
And the altar and the bull that they'd put on it, but he made dust out of it. Yeah. I mean, just bam, he answered literally by fire.
Yeah.
But this is what he says to the king, to King Ahab. He says, "Go and go and eat and drink,
mm-hmm.
and then bring the prophets of Baal down here to the Wadi Kishon,
mm-hmm.
and that's where they were destroyed."
Right.
The prophets of Baal. And what that tells you is, after this statement that he makes to the king, he says, "Go and eat and drink." In other words, go nourish yourself.
Right.
This ordeal is over with. We done found out that Yahweh, God, he answers by fire. He is the God. Then even the prophets of Baal even agree to that.
Mm-hmm.
But go up there and rest yourself, said, because I hear the sound of a rain cloud.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, where it hadn't rained for 3-some years.
Right.
All of a sudden he says, I hear a rain cloud. Now, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. I mean, there literally wasn't a cloud in the sky.
No.
And you go on to read on down into 18, and he sends fellas to go look over the hillside to look and find out, hey, did you see anything over there? No, not yet. And after a while, I see a little old bitty cloud. And the point of all that is, for me saying that, and it may sound like I went around my elbow to get to my thumb, but all of it's important because, for one thing, it's in Scripture.
Yes, sir.
But the heart of the gist of that, to me, was just like what y'all are doing here, and the encouragement that I'd want to make sure to give you is just like where Elijah was. The closer you are to God, the more you can hear from him. And although there wasn't a rain cloud to be found, Elijah knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Because as he had prayed that it be shut up, he prayed for it to be opened.
Right.
And he believed that just as much as he believed. For not only am I going to build an altar, but in fact, while you're at it, dig a trench around it and go bring me some barrels of water and let's fill the trench up too. In fact, you stay over there with that little old setup you got. In fact, I'm going to double down on what I got.
Yeah.
And I'm going to fill this thing up with water and let's see what happens. In the God that answers by fire, you'll have to admit.
Yeah.
That's God Almighty, and he did.
Amen.
And again, the reason why it was is because he was in a position to hear from God. So therefore, I don't really honestly and truly believe that people are trying to get away from God on a purposeful thing. Mm-hmm. I just believe that if we're not careful, if we let those distractions, you know, come around,
right,
then what'll happen is we'll find ourselves a little bit deeper in that trench. You know, we'll get that much further away.
Right.
And brother, anytime we can share the gospel in any way, given shape, form, or fashion, any way the word can get out and all that other kind of stuff, brother, I'm all for it.
Amen.
You know,
me too.
And I just so appreciate what y'all do. And brother, if there's a prayer for you, I would pray that y'all would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Yeah.
In 2016.
Amen.
Or until the Lord comes back.
Amen.
You know, and which I actually don't believe that's going to be very long, to be honest with you. I don't believe it's going to be long.
I don't either. No, it's coming, man. I tell you, brother, it just you have just ministered to me with what you said, man. And me and Nathan were somewhat talking about this earlier, just right along those lines, man. And you come in and your word was point on, man. For me, and what's been happening around here, man. So I tell you what, it's not only was it convenient maybe for you to get here, but God sent you to speak what you just spoke to me.
Well, you know, the thing about it is you know, look, you know, the word is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible says, "For thy word is true," and there's no denying that. And I know. Well, let me put it to you this way: I know good and well I don't deny it. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't doubt it.
Right.
I just literally believe that thy word is true, and it kind of comes around in the parable of the seed. Mm-hmm. You know, and he gives four references where that seed falls. Stony ground,
right?
On rocky ground, where it's devoured, and then mm-hmm. the sun gets it. You know, and of course that means the devil, where the devil
sure.
comes to. But then there's that seed that fell in rich, fertile soil, and it grew. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, what we'll find ourselves doing is, if we honestly and truly realize that the Word of God is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're to believe the word of God and have faith in God, that God's going to do far more than what we could ever fathom or believe, then we would have to understand that if it fell in that ground, then we would understand and we'd see that manifest itself in the growth of who we are and those that are around us if we share the gospel with people,
right,
as opposed to those that where it fell on stony ground and or the briars consumed it and that type stuff. It's not necessarily the seed, because the seed's there. The seed's
right.
The truth.
Right.
It just depends on how the soil took it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And if you let it manifest and you let it grow in you and you allow those roots to spread out and you get good and solid, and you're able to share, you know, your faith and your testament of what God has done in and through your life and what he's willing to do for your life, then you realize that listen, I've seen God do this time. I've seen God do that time. I've seen God do that. And look, you know what? I know this seems impossible, but I'm going to believe God for this.
Right.
I believe I heard from God, and I believe this is what God would have me do. And you know what? I'm going to keep on, like Job said, I'm going to keep on till he proves me.
Amen.
And a lot of times, you know, it's a little too easy to get discouraged because of the times that we live in. You know, you remember, you know, and Hunter, in your lifetime and in my lifetime, mm-hmm. you know, we used to have to write letters to people.
Yeah.
And then you had to wait for a reply.
Right, that's right.
Now you can email somebody. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't get back with them, then they text you. Hey, bub, yeah. did you get my email?
Right.
Yeah, I got it. Well, what about it?
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean, what about it? What's the answer?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know, man. Give me a minute or two. And before right. you know it, we want God to answer in the same way. And if he doesn't answer that quick,
then
we decide we've got plan A, plan B, and plan C, MasterCard, American Express, and Visa. And before it's all over, we're going to try to figure out what
right.
in the world we can do to work our little deal out.
That's good stuff.
Instead
right there,
of being
bro.
Patient, you know, as it says in Isaiah, and wait upon the Lord.
Man.
And, you know, so therefore, I just encourage y'all to just keep charging. And I'll even say this, I don't even know what y'all set up or what the deal is or what it isn't. There may be somebody out there that's listening today. And you may have a windfall at the end of the year, and you don't really know what in the world you want to do with it. I would challenge you to invest it in the Word of God. I would encourage you to challenge it. In fact, I'll challenge you to invest in the kingdom of heaven, maybe through this radio station. Amen. Maybe there's some equipment y'all need.
Yeah.
Look, you know, only y'all know what your needs are, and God knows what those needs need to be.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to reach who he wants to reach. Because, see, none of us know what that spread is. And it's more than social media.
Right, right.
God was into social media years ago.
Yeah, he was.
You know, we just put a machine with it. God just spoke it.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
And, but if there's somebody that's out there listening and you don't really know what to do, and God has spoke to your heart, and he's told you that he wants you to do something godly with it. Man, come by and see these folks here at HLE Radio and see what you can do to help that message along. And before it's all over with, you'll only know when you get to the shores of the everlasting, you know, what that meant.
Yeah.
You know, because maybe four, five, six souls their lives were changed.
Amen.
You know.
Amen. Brother, I'd like to keep you here. I really would, and I know I can't, and I'm going to be very cognizant of your time because we're still going to do a few photo ops here before you leave real quick.
Yeah, brother, so I got to be Santa Claus in the morning.
I know you do, man. So let me first of all thank you for taking time, and I really mean that, for coming by here and sharing your heart, man, because you know, we didn't get into anything other than what the Lord had for you to say. And I'm telling you, man, I received that today myself personally.
Well, God be the glory, brother.
And I know some other folks out there did too. Now, I had a request, man, and we don't have to do it. But if you could just do a few lines of Beulah Land, man. I don't know. Can you do that, or is it too early for that? Can you not do that?
No. I got
a good Get Fiddle on the wall right there. Man, that thing plays like a jewel. Grab that Boulder Creek, Nathan. Let him have that.
Okay,
thing
now whoa, wait a minute. What did you say that was?
Beulah Land.
No, I mean, what kind of guitar?
Boulder Creek.
Oh, okay. Well, see, that's that Cajun talk. I thought
you said
something different. I was trying to figure out what in the world you were saying.
I mean, I can get you old Yamaha if you'd rather that, brother.
No,
but
I'm
telling you, that's a fine instrument right there.
No. I got you, and I agree with that. They do. They make great guitars. It, brother, I just couldn't make out what you were saying. You know, I'm standing on the wall.
I'll let you go after this, brother, I promise.
I'm kind of homesick for country. where I've never been before. No sad goodbye will there be spoken, for time won't anymore. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. Shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah, I'm looking now across the river, where all my fate's gonna end inside a few more days. I'll wait in labor, then I'll tell my heavenly flight. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. And there my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land. Beulah
Thank you, Marty. That's Marty Rayburn, our guest now for HLE Radio. We're going to let him go, and he's got to get down the road, but we're going to leave you with one of his songs that is doing really well right now. He's still doing miracles today. Marty, thank you so much, brother.
Hey, Hunter, I appreciate you. You have me, and again, as I said a while, brother, I pray in the new year that y'all prosper and be in good health, even as your souls prosper.
Amen.
But just keep charging.
We're going to do it, man.
Just keep charging.
We're going back to regular programming now. We'll see you.
Quite a few years ago, he took a few fish and a couple loaves of bread and fed a few thousand folks, so they say. He turned some water into wine, gave sight to blinded eyes, died and found a way to rise on the third day. They wrote a book about the miracles he performed while he was with them. Some say he don't do them anymore, but, well, I beg to differ. He's turning crackheads into preachers, hookers to choir singers, hell raisers to believers, right before our eyes. He's turning whiskey into diapers, cocaine to washers and dryers. We can't touch his hand and we can't see his face. Miracles today. I've seen hardcore men turn tender and party all weekenders, fall to their knees and surrender and forsake it all. And how about those flowers in the spring? Another baby born with a healthy heartbeat. Reaching down and finding me, wandering lost. He's never stopped pulling off amazing works on his kids. Why, just ask my friend Jeremy what the good Lord did for him. He turned his cancer into history. Doctors said it was a mystery. Now he's married to a girl named Jenny, with two kids they weren't supposed to have. It's been 10 years since he walked out of there. Experts say he didn't have a prayer, but that changed one night in room 305 when his mamma prayed. Yeah, he's still doing miracles today. Yeah, he's turning crackheads into preachers, hookers into choir singers, hell raisers to believers, right before our eyes. He's turning whiskey into diapers, cocaine to washers and dryers. We can't touch his hand and we can't see his face. Yeah, but he's still doing miracles today. Yeah.